Hour number two, late night right here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. Room for you at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. We'll continue our discussion. And look, it's been a good discussion. It went all the way back to Rob Bradford sort of introduced this many, many hours ago, and it's really carried the way through the evening here. The primary difference between what Bradford was talking about and what I've brought to the table here is that I feel like not only, you know, he said that the Red Sox did the right thing by going to the White House, whereas, you know, John Tomasi on WEI.com, and he called into Rob Bradford's show and defended his position, and he'll be on the morning show tomorrow further defending his position, saying that the Red Sox did the wrong thing. Here's the thing. Both Rob Bradford and John Tomasi are two incredible human beings. They're both good guys. Like, regardless of how we feel about Tomasi and what he did to the Patriots or wrote about the Patriots 11 years ago, remove that from the equation. The guy is a genuinely good dude. Like, he's somebody that you wouldn't mind hanging around or having your family hang around with. He's not a bad person. And Rob Bradford, you know, he's responsible for launching careers of what were once total unknowns because, you know, despite the fact that he's had his own good amount of success here, he's not too cocky to take a phone call. I got my start at EEI because he accepted a lunch invitation from me a couple of years ago. You know, so he's a genuinely good dude. Yeah, but they disagree politically, or they disagree on the Red Sox here, right? And they're able to have a good discussion about it. Unfortunately, that's not the way that this country works, and it's not the way that we've really sort of trained ourselves to behave in this environment. And that's why, by the way, you know, the climate that we've got when it comes to news and fake news and the media, this all plays into the discussion where you can have the same story being covered on CNN and on Fox News with two completely different takes, two completely different outcomes. So you have to ask yourself, if the news is the news is the news, shouldn't it be relatively the same story regardless of which outlet is reporting it? But that's not the way that it works because everything that we do in this country is so politicized today. I wish that we could just remove the politics from sports completely. You know, and again, when we bring it here to the Boston Red Sox, forget about the fact that I cover the NBA and the fact that I have been immersed in this since the Warriors won the championship last year, because this discussion goes, you know, all that far back where that team refused the invitation to the White House, and then the invitation was reneged by the White House, and it became a discussion of, you know, who had the bigger you know what is what it became, a back and forth between Trump and the Warriors. It was stupid, and it completely sort of insulted what the invitation is supposed to mean to begin with. So I feel like we have completely lost focus of the reason why the champions get invited to the White House. And instead of it being about the team, it's more about the person that's sitting in the White House as president. Meaning, if the Red Sox go and it's Barack Obama, well, then people that want to look at it as the Red Sox sort of agreeing with the left and agreeing with Obama, people are going to read into it that way. And now there's a certain group of Red Sox fans that are going to read into their decision to go to the White House as the Red Sox politically supporting Donald Trump. And look no further than sports talk radio. And look no further than social media to justify my point. Just real quick, you know, right here on Twitter, I am disgusted as a Red Sox fan that the team is going to the White House. I cannot wait to see who declines the offer to go. Another one. Not sure I'll support the Red Sox anymore if they legitimize Trump by attending the White House ceremony. 44 years as a fan, that is a shame. And that's a tiny, tiny sampling. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of tweets just like this. And believe me, the Red Sox, they're cognizant of what goes on social media. They are very aware of what gets said on the radio, just as Kirk Minahan. All right, so let's be real about this here. The Red Sox considered all that before they made their decision to go to the White House, and they still chose to go anyways. And they know that they are alienating and pissing off a good percentage of their fans, and they decided that they don't care. And whether that's the right or wrong thing to do, that's not for me to say. But I do know this, as somebody that has grown up in this environment, as somebody that I worked at New England Cable News as a camera operator during the 2000 election, and I was not allowed to go home for 5 nights. I was 20 years old, not allowed to go home for 5 nights. They put us up in a hotel until the hanging chads got decided. It was a you-know-what show, okay? But ever since then, the country has been split down the middle, and it's never going to change. Meaning, whatever happens here, no matter who wins these championships, no matter who wins the World Series, no matter who wins the Stanley Cup, no matter who wins the NBA championship, it doesn't make a difference. The World Series, you're going to alienate 50% of your fans, because there's always going to be 50% that don't agree with the person sitting in the White House, because we are no longer mature enough to remove the politics from the sports. Meaning, part of winning a championship, part of the coolness, part of the honor, part of the cool factor was getting to go to the White House. It was never about who was sitting in the White House at that time. But it's been like that for some time now. Remember, we went through this with the Red Sox before, with Theo. We went through it with the Patriots before, with Tom Brady. We went through it with Tim Thomas and Barack Obama. But it's getting worse and worse and worse. And instead of it being about a player or a team representative or a team employee bailing out, it's about entire teams debating for weeks, if not months, whether they're going to go or even accept the invitation. So if they have to debate for months and carefully consider the political impact and the impact on their fans by making that decision, then we know that we've gone too far. So let's just remove politics from the sports altogether, say goodbye to the national anthem before these sporting events. There's no reason to do it. There's no reason to really sing the national anthem before a basketball game. Let's be honest about this. Those guys, the basketball players, they're going to work. The Celtics, that is their job. When you punched into your 9-to-5 this morning, when I punched into my candy job this morning, did we put our hands on our hearts and, you know, sing the Star Spangled Banner? I don't think we did. Now, maybe you reserve it for playoffs. Maybe you reserve it for the finals. Maybe you reserve it for high school and collegiate and amateur sports and the Olympics and things like that. But those are different than 82 basketball games, 82 hockey games, 162 baseball games. Remove the anthem, remove the invitation to the White House, and completely separate the sports from the politics, and maybe we can get back to just enjoying sports and that being part of our break from the exhausting political discussion and debate in this country. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the calls tonight. Let's go to John. John's in Maine. John, you're next up here on WEEI.
Hey, Gilroy. Great show.
I appreciate it, Johnny.
All right, let me see if I can get you to meet me halfway on this political thing.
Okay.
So I think you're right. We should get rid of the White House trips. It used to be cool. It's not cool anymore. But the national anthem, in the NBA and the NHL, they play the Canadian national anthem before a lot of the games. And I don't think the Canadian fans would appreciate if we took that away from them because of the political environment here in America. And in the NFL, they're traveling to London and Mexico now. They play their national anthems before the games. And in baseball, the first time the Star-Spangled Banner was played was at Union Grounds in 1862. And the first time it was played before the World Series was before the Red Sox and the Cubs played at Comiskey Park in 1918. And it didn't even become the national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, until 1931. So there's so much history attached to it in baseball. I just don't think it would be fair to the fans. I think it's more for the fans than it is the players. I know it's their job to show up and do it every day, but I think it's ceremonial, and it wouldn't be right to take that away from a lot of the fans that still enjoyed that part of the game.
And I get that, John, and I don't necessarily disagree, but if it were so impactful and so important, then why isn't it televised more often than it is?
I don't know the answer to that.
Because the advertisers don't want to be associated with it because it's going to alienate and piss off 50% of the people that they're trying to sell a product to.
That's true, but the fans buying the tickets are different than the fans watching the game at home.
No, you're right. You're right. And the way that I look at this, John, in a perfect world, you are right. In a perfect world, I am with you. And you know, I opened the show, unfortunately, by comparing most of America to my 8-year-old. And clearly you're a deep thinking guy, John. We've had many discussions. You know, you are not necessarily sort of in this pile of people that I'm grouping together. But I feel like, unfortunately, right now, we've proven ourselves to be unable as a country to have a civil discussion about things that we disagree on. So rather than continue this rhetoric and continue the fighting, I'm looking for the easiest possible solution to make my life a little bit more peaceful. You know what I mean? Like, in a perfect world, you are 1,000% right, but maybe we're not mature enough to actually handle that perfect world decision.
Unfortunately, you're probably right, and we may be moving towards your solution sooner than later.
All right, John, man, I appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate, you know, you reminding me and everybody else of the history behind the national anthem and when it actually first started and the reasons why it first started at these sporting events. And, you know, those reasons were very pure and very real once upon a time. But I don't think that they are nearly as pure and real anymore. It's more about entertainment. It's more about, it really is, when you look at some of the choices that we have made as a society between, you know, Roseanne Barr and Fergie. You can't tell me that those two, you know, singing the national anthem in the manner in which they did were about, you know, being, honoring the country, honoring the military that's made sacrifices to give us the ability to put Roseanne Barr out there to butcher the national anthem and put Fergie out there to butcher the national anthem. So if we're going to butcher it and make it a laughingstock anyways, or if we're going to fight over it, and if we're not going to allow people to kneel during the national anthem, even though their kneeling is really a representation of the freedoms that they've been sort of allowed to have because the people that sacrificed their lives fighting for those rights, and that's why we do the national anthem to begin with. It is such a circle that never ends, right? Because, in my opinion, they can all kneel if they want to during the national anthem, because that's what the people that gave their lives fighting for this country were fighting for. Our right to protest, our right to free speech. And it's really honoring them by utilizing those rights, but we're too scared to do so now because, oh, the media is going to get on me. And look at Colin Kaepernick now. We don't even know the truth in the matter. You know, part of the people out there right now think that he's not working in football because he took a knee. I don't think he's working in football partially because he took a knee and partially because I don't think he wants a job. If he wanted a job at this point, he would have gone to the CFL. He would have done something else. Johnny Manziel went to the CFL because he wanted to work and prove that he could still throw a football. You know, if Colin Kaepernick had done all of those things and still continued to be unable to get a job, I might feel differently about him. But I don't have a problem with him taking a knee. I don't have a problem with the cheerleader a couple weeks ago taking a knee. I don't have a problem with these players taking a knee. But many, 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 many Americans do. So let's just remove the opportunity for the fight, because that fight hasn't resulted in anything positive. There's been nothing positive that's come from this. No solution on the Black Lives Matter and the, you know, the African Americans feeling like the police are singling them out. There's been no solution on that side, nor has there been a solution on the other side. It is still something that is politicized to this day. And believe me, before the next election process, before the next election cycle, Donald Trump is going to revive this conversation again, because it worked for him. It appeals to his fan base. It became nothing more than a political prop for the president to prop up the Republican Party. That's what we do, and that's what's going to become of all of these White House visits. They're going to become something that Donald Trump and whoever else is sitting in the White House eventually uses as a way to politicize the teams that are visiting the White House and almost make this make it implied that that team and those players are supporting that particular president, that particular president's party. It's unfortunate that that's the way it's looking right now, but that's the way that this thing is turned. So let's just remove the anthem, remove the White House visits, and completely separate sports and politics so they no longer intersect. Let's grab one more here before we go to the break. Let's go to Steve. Steve's in Rochester. Steve, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick. I can't disagree with a single thing you're saying, and it's a sad state of affairs. But I wanted to just give you a little little side here just to take you off for a second.
Okay.
Tonight over in Huntington, over at the Symphony Hall, the Boston Pops are starting their Holiday Pops run.
Yep.
And they always bring in celebrities and guests to do, you know, things by conducting. So tonight the conducted sleigh ride was Rem Dog. Conducted sleigh ride.
That's awesome.
And he did an amazing job. It was hilarious. The crowd went mental. And then the big encore at the end was they did Twas the Night Before Christmas. They've had many, you know, Governor Baker, you know, the mayor, everybody does it. They brought in, the first time they did it in Spanish, Alex Cora did the Twas the Night Before Christmas to the music that the orchestra was playing.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
It was a fantastic thing, and there was no politics anywhere.
Right.
Everybody was, you know, it was music, and it was sports, and it was just people being people. There was no politics.
And people enjoying themselves. And Steve, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate you sort of filling me in on what happened tonight. I'm actually going to try and take my kids to the Pops this year because they're finally old enough to enjoy it. I did it a couple of years ago myself, and it's so much fun. It is so much fun. If you like Christmas, if you're into Christmas music, it's really a great time. They do an awesome job there. And Jerry Remy going, I'd read about that on Twitter. And look, that means he's healthy. He's getting better. The plan is for him to come back next year. And that's awesome as well. You know, that guy has fought cancer a handful of times and continues to come out on the other side. And you guys all know I'm dealing with cancer with my dad. And you look at a guy like Remdog that continues to battle it and continues to win. And guys like him are inspirational to families like mine in the situation that we are in. It is Sports Radio WEEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is Late Night. When we come back, still plenty of room for you as we continue our discussion about the removal of politics from sports. In my opinion, they should no longer intersect because, unfortunately, as a society, we have proven that we can no longer handle the intersection of sports and politics. We'll continue that discussion with you when we come back right here, Sports Radio WEEI.
I think this can be good for both Trump and the Red Sox. You've got a team that is owned by very liberal owners, but you've got a manager like Alex Cora who has been at the forefront of what went down in Puerto Rico and helping restoration.
Yeah.
I would hope that not just the Red Sox, but all teams use your opportunity to visit with the President of the United States to share your concerns, your thoughts, weigh in on issues. And I think that someone as savvy as Alex Cora, A, has run a great team and I think can mobilize this team and talk about how this is a great opportunity for us. The last thing I'll say this, as a Red Sox fan, these teams have got to understand it's not just about them. It's not just right. about their disagreements they may have with the president on style or substance or policy, but it's also an opportunity for fans that supported a team that won a championship to get to watch their team go to the White House and have the glory that goes along with that visit. So I would urge players to remember it's more than about you.
That's a former press secretary to Donald Trump, Sean Spicer, right there on his radio.com podcast. You heard that right. He's a part of the Entercom family here as well. You guys can check out his podcast called Everything is Going to Be All Right, featured on radio.com, the same home of same future home of the one and only Kirk Minahan. Radio.com now employing both Kirk Minahan and the one and only Sean Spicer. What could possibly go wrong there with those two? Could one of those guys say something that they might regret down the line at some point here on radio.com? We'll have to wait and see. But that's actually a pretty entertaining podcast. I've listened to the first few episodes. And, you know, Spicer's got to play this thing very carefully, too, because he is still very much connected to that White House. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops at Gilroy on Hoops. Continuing our discussion surrounding the Boston Red Sox, their decision to ultimately accept the president's invitation of the White House to celebrate their World Series championship and the instant, impactful, and emotional, visceral reaction from a large group of Red Sox fans. Not just guys like Reamer and Tomasi. And you know, I sometimes get lumped in with those guys because I'm a Democrat as well. But I'm very different in this way. I've got the ability to personally separate sports and politics, but so many other people don't. And I feel like those two guys can't do it either. You know, if this country could on its own, if we were mature enough to separate the sports from the politics, then I wouldn't be going down this road tonight. But as somebody who's been doing this, speaking in front of a microphone for nearly 20 years, and God willing, I'd like to continue to do it for another 20 years, I just get tired of this discussion. And what I've noticed over the last 10 or 12 years, that this discussion has become more and more prevalent. It's just really risen to the forefront of this discussion, unfortunately, and it's only going to get worse before it gets better, because I don't see a way where this country is actually going to unify, or at least if not unify, at least find a way to respect the other side long enough to actually have a discussion with them. Because when our leaders are ones that completely tune out the other side, I'm sorry, but you know, during the Obama presidency, the right willingly, openly, and you know, publicly said, you know what, we're not even going to engage President Obama in his discussion for universal health care. So what was Obama forced to do? He was forced to use an executive order for probably one of the largest changes that we've seen in recent history here. And he had to do it all by himself by executive order, right? So you've got situations like that. And now the same thing's happening on the other side, where the left are tuning out Donald Trump. And they're not willing to have meaningful and impactful discussions with him. And it's going to continue to repeat and so on and so forth. So rather than having our sports, our beloved teams, be thrown into this disgusting mess, why can't we just separate the two? Why can't we just remove the national anthem? That way we don't have to deal with Colin Kaepernick and the kneeling and the protesting and that discussion any longer, because that's as exhausting as this. And then we can just simply remove the invitation to the White House. Because let's face it, you know, what was once a very cool thing to get to go to the White House and have that sort of one-on-one time with the president, that awesome tour that only the very special people get, you know, get that incredible photo op that you'll take so much pride in and hang up in your house. Those days, I think, are gone, with so many players openly mocking the president if you're not on the side that president happens to be on, with so many players opting to bail out. It's no longer one-off. It's no longer just Tim Thomas or Tom Brady. It's the entire Warriors team. It's the entire Philadelphia Eagles team. I mean, what's the point? If players don't want to go that much longer, right, if it's not that important to them anymore, then why bother? Why bother continuing to intersect sports and politics when it no longer has the demand, in my opinion? Why bother continuing to invite more fights, invite more hate, where this country's already full of too many fights and too much hate to begin with? If the conversation's not willing to be had politically, then what makes us think we'll be able to have the conversation when sports and politics collide? I don't think we're capable of doing it. I think that we've proven over the last few years that we're not capable of doing it. So why do we continue to put ourselves in this position where now 50% of Red Sox fans that were once on cloud nine 72 hours ago, continuing, you know, just that awesome elation, that feeling of winning the World Series, going into the holiday season, knowing that pitchers and catchers report in only 2 months, that momentum going into next year? You got Red Sox fans, thousands of them on Twitter, disavowing the team and saying, you know what, I'm done, because the team's decided to go to the White House. It makes no sense to me, so why bother putting ourselves in this position at all? Just simply remove the White House invitation, remove the national anthem, completely remove the intersection of sports and politics, and we'll do sports, you do politics, and we move on with our lives all that much happier for that decision. But it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's go to John. John's in the car. John, you're next up here on WEI.
Gilroy, what's going on?
What's happening, Johnny?
You know, or what we can do, instead of glorifying Kaepernick on one knee, maybe the week after that you can talk about the superstar athletes that stood up for the anthem and give them equal time. You know, the biggest problem I had when they lost me is when the tackle for Pittsburgh that was a war hero,
yep,
was ostracized because he wanted to go out and salute the flag. Now, first off, he could probably single-handedly choke every one of them on the Steelers, and he probably should have done that. But the fact that they made him feel like a villain or a criminal because he wanted to go salute the flag and be out there for the national anthem for his own pride, that's when this whole thing just took a turn for me that was, you know, it's gone beyond reality. It's just now it's who can ping the social media with the most obnoxious way of expressing a point.
John, it's one-upsmanship is what it's become. It's no longer about the meaning of the anthem. It's no longer about the meaning of the trip to the White House. So if we've lost the meaning in it, then why do we continue to do it?
And here's my thing. You know, and I get it with Trump. And look, I voted for Trump. I couldn't vote for Hillary. I know my vote doesn't matter in Massachusetts. But you know what? They can all blame Obama for this because he told them, you want to do this, you run. He said, okay, you know what? I will run, and I'll beat everybody on my ticket, and I'll beat everybody on your ticket. And he did that. So everybody that's got a problem with this, they can start looking at Obama. But if you change Trump and you put Jack Kennedy's name there, how is this different? Because Jack Kennedy was a bad guy. I mean, he's a womanizer. He brought the country to the near end of the world. And I can show you historical facts. I'm a history major. And for every one person that says he saved the world with the Cuban Missile Crisis, I can show you 100 that said He was the one that caused this thing.
But John, you know the answer to that, John. You know the answer to that. The answer is we live in very different times. That was, you know, pre-internet, pre-social media. You know, everything that Jack Kennedy.
But it does because everything
that he did, for the most part, didn't boil down to the public. It didn't trickle all the way down to the public. He got away with most of it. You know, 50 years later, we've learned of all these things. But in that moment, nobody knew what he was doing. They only knew the limited little snippets that they saw on TV once in a while.
But the point is, the guy is the same. So if the guy's the same then, the guys are the same now. And you know what? The guys are going to be the same in 60 years from now. It's just like the picture of, and I'm sure you've seen it, the 68 Olympics with the two American sprinters with the black power.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And the guy from Australia. You know, not many people know this, but when that guy from Australia died or New Zealand, wherever he was from, those two guys went and were pallbearers at his funeral. I mean, eventually this stuff comes about and people get back to some sort of a reality that makes a little more sense. And unfortunately, this thing is just spiraled so out of control that nobody sees the light at the end of the tunnel, or if they see it, they think it's a train coming. But that's the whole goal here, is that maybe at some point in time, somebody can put a stop to this nonsense and everybody stops worrying about the Kardashians and they start worrying about what matters in this world, because that's what happened. Is this social media thing just became way more than it was supposed to be. And it's just the crap's out of the donkey. And now you're going to try to put it back in.
Good points, John. Listen, man, I appreciate the phone call. Don't be a stranger. And, you know, with the irony here is without President Obama sort of challenging Trump, maybe Trump doesn't get in the race. And without Twitter, without the power of Twitter, Trump probably doesn't win the White House. But again, this whole discussion was born out of the Red Sox deciding to go to the White House. And that, I think, further proves my point. And whether you want to look at JFK as a bad guy or a good guy, it doesn't really make a difference all these years later, because when he was in public, when he was out there in the public eye, which, you know, fortunately for JFK way back then, you know, you had your three major networks, and that was about it. So you had three reporters, you know, for TV. You had some radio reporters, some print reporters, but that was it. You know, his public perception when he was seen on TV or seen in the newspaper, he always looked very presidential. He acted and he behaved the right way in front of the cameras. He didn't, because he knew how to play the game. You know, President Obama, whether you agree or disagree with him, he knew how to play the game. President Clinton, whether you agree or disagree with him, he knew how to play the game. He was smooth at playing the game. And believe it or not, that matters, because part of playing the game is appeasing the people that don't agree with you. And that, unfortunately, is part of keeping the peace in this country. And keeping the peace in this country is part of having an open and honest dialogue in this country. And because we're no longer able to keep the peace, it's become so much about hate. And it's become about, my word is louder than your word, therefore I am right. And that is not going to push this country forward at all. That's going to continue to push us further back into the dark ages. So to me, we've proven that we can no longer handle the intersection of sports and politics. So why continue trying to force it down our throats? No more White House visits, all right? Because if half the team is going to say, I don't want to go, and the other half of the team is going to say, sure, I'd like to go, then what the hell's the point? And if half the fan base is going to support the team for going, and the other half of the fan base swears up and down that they're going to alienate the team for going, then what the hell's the point? It was supposed to be a unifying celebration of your win. That's what it was once meant to be. But it's no longer unifying, and it's not much of a celebration any longer. So why bother even doing it at this point in time? It doesn't make any sense to me, but I have a feeling we're going to continue with the anthem. We're going to continue sending these winners to the White House, or at least inviting them to the White House. And for every Red Sox team you have that accepts the invitation, I think you're going to have two teams like the Eagles or the Warriors that say, to hell with it, it's not worth it to me. Let's grab one more here. Let's go to George. George is in West Warwick. George, you're next up here on WEI.
All right, Patrick, let's do it. Let's do it.
What's on your mind, Georgie?
I'm going to tell you three things. I don't know if you believe them or not. First of all, George H.W. Bush got buried today, right?
Yes, sir.
You think more people in America cared about the princess getting married to the prince? If we had to put numbers on it for television-wise, right?
Yeah. I mean,
probably care about that more. There's a princess married the prince, and I'm gonna tell you another thing.
By the way, you're right. You know, my wife, when the royal wedding happened, wife got up at like three. She got up at like three in the morning. It was on. So you know, she had to wake up in the middle of the night to watch it, and she did. You're right.
And I'm going to tell you another thing. I got one more thing. The Celtics are better on a fast break than they are on a set offense.
You're 1,000% right about that, George, and that I've actually got that note written down. We're going to talk about that coming up after midnight tonight. They're a better transition team than they are a half-court team.
Anybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Coach. Now, the third thing is, you want to why Kaepernick doesn't have a job?
Yeah.
Alex Smith completes the end zone pass, and Baltimore is out of the Super Bowl. They do not win it. Am I right? Am I wrong?
You're probably right. If you want to go all that back, what, four or five years, you could do it.
Beat that pass.
Yep.
Super Bowl win.
Yep.
Am I right? Am I wrong?
I think you're right, George. George, you're 3 for 3, buddy. 3 for 3 here tonight on WEEI. It is Sports Radio WEEI. Room for you guys tonight, I promise you. Everybody that sort of is waiting in line, if you got a thought on this thing, just because I'm saying we're going to transition to some basketball, and we will. This discussion, as you guys know, on late night, what we talk about in hour number one and hour number two, whether it dominates hour threes and four, it doesn't make a difference. We can continue with the discussion, continue with your thoughts as we introduce other things into the program, especially on a night like this where we have the full 4-hour experience here together. But it is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. Room for you. We'll continue this discussion when we come back on the intersection of sports and politics. I say it's time to do away with it. Let's just simply remove the anthem, remove the White House invitation, and completely separate the two, because I don't think as a country we're mature enough to handle it. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Sports Radio at WEI. It's late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Wasn't sure if I wanted to continue to invite the text messages, but I should have known tonight. Having a discussion like this, again, 50% of the people are going to like it. 50% of the people can't stand it, and that, unfortunately, is the reality of today's sort of world that we live in, the climate that we live in today. And I hate to say it, but you're not going to find somebody much more down the middle than myself. And again, if somebody has a good idea when it comes to the potential for continuing with the tradition of inviting these teams to the White House, by all means, let's have that discussion. If somebody's got a good idea when it comes to the continuing of the national anthem as a part of what we expect from a live sporting event, especially a live professional sporting event, then by all means, you know, I invite that part of the discussion to the table, because it's easy for me to sit here and say, I don't think as a country we can handle it. I don't think as a country we've shown that we're mature enough to handle it. So the simple answer is to keep the peace and simply remove the national anthem and remove the invitation to the White House. That way we no longer have to go down this road and continue discussing the intersection of sports and politics. Once you do that, you really remove a huge portion of what this conversation has been dominated by. Between the national anthem and the protests and everything that happened with Colin Kaepernick and everything in between, and all the misinterpretations, by the way, of what Colin Kaepernick was attempting to do, and even the president of the United States taking that misinterpretation. By the way, he knew it was an interpretation that was incorrect, but he took it anyways, spun it into something else, and turned it into a rallying cry for his base. And it helped really politicize the whole issue, right? President Trump took what Colin Kaepernick did to the next level. And he did it because he knew it was going to re-energize his fan base, and it worked for him. I give him credit. He was intelligent enough, or people in his inner circle were intelligent enough to capitalize on a golden opportunity. But what did you do? You used the national anthem as a golden opportunity to promote yourself. That's not what it was meant for. And I find it ironic that you had the president really railing against Colin Kaepernick, accusing him of using the national anthem in a way where he wasn't trying to use it in that way. He simply wasn't. I mean, he was pretty clear about why he chose that time to first take the knee, right? But President Trump didn't care. He had his own ideas in his mind, and he went out there time after time after time after time after time, and he drilled it into his base that this was complete disrespect to the flag, and not only disrespect to the flag, but disrespect to all the servicemen and women. And that's not what it was intended to be. And I think a lot of people understood at the beginning that that's not what it was intended to be. But by the time the president had, you know, spun his evil web, that's what it became. So he had the opportunity to politicize something across the intersection of sports and politics. So let's not give him or any future presidents or political parties or political people, let's just not give him that opportunity any longer. And now with these White House visits, it's been ugly. Let's face it, it's been ugly, and it's been ugly, you know, not just for President Trump. It was ugly for President Obama and to a certain extent President Bush as well. But once upon a time, when it was Bush and Obama, you had one-offs or two-offs, a couple players, a couple of staff members, and yeah, they were high profile. You know, here, Theo Epstein, here, Tom Brady, you know, deciding not to go. But now you've got entire teams saying, to hell with it, I want no part of it. You've got the Eagles and you've got the Warriors, you know, essentially saying thanks but no thanks. And now you've got the Red Sox saying, no, we're going to go, and 50% of the Red Sox fan base is pissed off about it, is upset about it, because they feel like their team is now associating themselves with somebody that they strongly disagree with across many, many fronts. So why, as an organization that is so concerned about PR, would you willingly put yourself in that position? So as a whole, I feel like all of these professional teams should simply ask the White House to stop inviting them. And that way, we remove another intersection of sports and politics, and maybe the two belong completely separate. Maybe the two don't belong together, because let's face it, it gets really heated, it gets ugly, and that intersection of sports and politics may very well have played a role in Kirk losing his job here, right? It may very well have played a large role in that, because people simply can't handle the discussion. So if we're not mature enough to handle the discussion and handle a discussion with somebody that you strongly disagree with, it doesn't always have to boil down to, you know, fighting and name calling and the loudest person ultimately, quote unquote, winning because you have the opportunity to hang up on somebody. That's not going to get us anywhere. That's not going to further the discussion. That's not going to make this country any stronger. So why continue to go down this road that I don't think we're capable of actually going down in a meaningful and impactful way? It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the calls. Let's go to Mike. Mike's in Worcester. Mike, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Mike.
I want to get back to your point, but there's a tangential situation. You know, watching an NFL game fairly recently, and sometimes you see the servicemen returning. And come to find out that this is not taken care of by happenstance by someone coming home or by the government. It's the NFL teams that are creating this kind of emotional reunions to spark a little nationalism. And I remember feeling a little uncomfortable when I saw that on one hand. And then I thought about it a little bit more, and it seems that sports and what this country about are inextricably intertwined. I don't think we can really get away from that. A little while ago, you yourself said maybe we should let the anthem go, you know, for high school and college, but let's cut it off at the professional level. And, you know, in getting back to the Red Sox briefly also, I kind of think they're taking the high road here. But I understand Philadelphia Eagles and the Golden State Warriors. A little bit different situation there. I think we have to look at the realities. I just heard today on another sports talk show, someone said there's only 7.7% of the people in baseball are black. Take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles and the Golden State Warriors. It's quite a different makeup there. You could argue that, you know, may not be germane or may not matter, but I really think it does.
It's a good point. I'm gonna let you keep going because I like where you're going with this.
Yep.
But if what you're saying there, if what you're implying there is actually true, right? And that we're gonna find out over the next 2 to 6 years, depending on how long Trump is in the White House, because whether we like it or not, you're right. You know, baseball players are predominantly not African American. Hockey players are predominantly not African American. Where football and basketball players are. So it'll be interesting to see if this sort of dynamic continues, where maybe, you know, Major League Baseball and NHL teams decide to take the invitation, but NFL teams and NBA teams opt out.
God, can you really see it being, you know, two leagues saying no and then two leagues saying yes? I think in just to get back to your main point here, which is whether we're mature enough to handle it. I think you bring up some great points there. The left and the right not being able to even hear each other anymore. And I don't know if you watch Bill Maher, but his last show, he got up at the very end and said, you know, we really just got to stop talking to each other. Leave politics and religion, you know, with the holidays, just leave it out of the conversation. But I think because they are intertwined, and we see our athletes out in the communities doing the things, and we like to see that. It makes us feel good to see the Patriots are doing this, you know, fundraiser, and the Jimmy Fund with the Red Sox is such a part of it. We want these people in our communities. When we go to a game, we get a kick out of seeing the mayor throw out the first pitch, that kind of thing. But now it's gotten so much more real in the issues there. And I got to tell you, you know, when you make up your thesis of the night is perhaps we should we or should we not get rid of the national anthem at professional sporting events? I think I have one comment I'll make about that. I think that we are living in times that are, this is very different. And I'm afraid that we, you know, you're trying to take the middle of the road here, as you're trying to find some moral equivalency here. This is a very different situation. The affronts that are being made, unfortunately, by the president are really outside the normal realm. And to try and normalize and say we should just cut this out, as you said, for 2 years or for the next 6 years, now let's wait this out. I think there's going to be a return to decency, regardless of what happens. I think Americans on both sides are going to demand that. And I hope that that happens.
I hope you're right, because
let's not jump to the conclusion and start changing things now. If it continues on, you know, there may be something to consider.
I hope you're right. I would really like to believe in the greater good here, Mike, and I appreciate the phone call and this, as you call it, return to decency. That first starts with a return to an ability to have a simple conversation and to have an exchange of ideas between people that don't agree on their fundamental beliefs. They should still be free and able to exchange ideas and respect those ideas, whether you agree with them or not. Again, that's what our forefathers envisioned. That's why we've got the two-party system. So you've got the best of the right and the best of the left, and they come together and they, you know, put all their ideas on the table, and the best of the best are what help form this country. And that's not the way it's working any longer, unfortunately. And both sides are guilty of it. I mentioned earlier in the program the way that President Obama had to force the ACA, the Health Care Act, through, Obamacare through. He had to do it by executive order because he couldn't get the right to come to the table, you know, and have a discussion about it, have a real, meaningful and impactful discussion. And I found it interesting, well, this is what, 10 years ago, when the right essentially, you know, got in front of the cameras and said, we told Obama we're not going to talk. We're just not going to do it. So they had no intention of coming to the table. And that really set the tone for the day and age in which we live in today. And that really set the tone and set the table for Twitter and for Facebook. And now we've all got that ability to sort of tune out the other side. But we've taken it to this extreme where I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, and then I'm going to scream that I'm right, and then I'm going to hang up on you. And my colleagues in the media are equally as guilty of doing that as anybody. And I try very hard in this program to listen to people that have got a difference of opinion from myself, whether it's about sports or about politics or about anything. Because I feel like as human beings, one of the greatest gifts that we can have with each other is the ability to learn from one another, right? And you have had different life experiences than I have had. And I have had different life experiences than you have had. And it's the combination, the sum total of those life experiences that sort of make up our core beliefs. And we should be able to share them with one another without being at risk of being hung up on or yelled at. It shouldn't be an affront to your intelligence because you believe something different than what I believe. But that's what it's become. And I don't see another way through this. And I don't want it to continue to poison sports. I don't. I haven't enjoyed the last couple of years. I haven't enjoyed this conversation surrounding Colin Kaepernick. I have not. And it will not completely go away because he's not going to get a job. And until or unless he gets a job in the NFL, this discussion is going to continue to come up each and every time there's an opening for a backup quarterback in the NFL. That's the way it's going to go. It popped up again this week. And this whole thing with teams deciding that they don't want to accept the invitation of the White House, or then there are teams that do want to accept the invitation of the White House. Unfortunately, because we're so split down the middle in this country these days, and everybody on either side feels like they're right, you're wrong, there's no room for discussion, so screw you. That's our attitude. Whether we want to admit it to ourselves or not, that's who we are. That's the way that this country really is running these days. And whether that's social media's fault, Twitter's fault, Facebook's fault, Obama's fault, Trump's fault, who cares about whose fault it is? There's nothing that bothers me more than the hunt for blame. It's irrelevant where this started. It's irrelevant where to point the finger or who to point the finger at. The only thing that's relevant is a solution, because we cannot, as a society, continue to go down this road. And now this road is poisoning sports, and sports was supposed to be the great escape. And look, we've spent 2 hours. I've still got full phone lines, and we'll spend another 2 hours probably talking about this. All right? So politics has poisoned sports. And that used to be my safe zone, and it's no longer safe. But it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937.